Let's get started this morning. We're going to be in chapter 16. You can turn your Bibles there. Actually, I'm going to do the announcements. I almost forgot to do the announcements. And we have some, pretty amazing things here to announce. First off, you know, this week has been a heavy week for many people. And you know, in light of that, I'll just let you know, Jeff has written a letter there. You might have already read it. It's on the internet in the e-bulletin that I put out each week. It's a letter, talking about Chuck Smith and the death of Chuck Smith, and then also a brother in our fellowship here who passed away. So I would encourage you to download that or grab a hard copy off the back table back there. And if we run out, we can make some more. So that would be really good, I think, and encouraging for you to read the letter that Jeff has there. But like I said, Chuck Smith, who has been a great blessing to the body of Christ for many years, he passed away Thursday morning in California. He had been struggling with cancer and had had a long, it was quite a while that he had been struggling with it. Had gone through a lot of ups and downs in it, had treatments and things like that. And he finally went home to be with the Lord Thursday morning. And, you know, I just remember I was in California when I went to Bible college at Calvary Chapel Bible College. There was a time where we were working at the renovation of the hot springs there, their campus and their retreat center there in California in Marietta. And I have memories of Chuck, just serving the Lord there. He got his hands dirty. He'd be on the tractor, the backhoe, doing all the work, even though he was this man of, note, of, somebody who didn't have to be doing the work, and yet he was there. And that's really a characteristic of his life. He was very much a servant. He was very much what you see he would be, what you've seen he would do. You know, what he taught, he would do those things. And I just really appreciated that about him. You know, the philosophy of ministry that he has had, it's been a blessing in my own personal life and to many, many others. So he will be greatly missed. And then also Gene Callender passed away, and many of you may have seen the news where there was a motorcycle crash in the DeBeck Canyon. That man was actually in our life group that we have, and he was a new member to our life group, and just a real blessing. Gene, just a real joyful, happy man. It's hard in times like this, and he's married to Kelly and has three children that they raised together, and then two children from a previous marriage. But, he was a loving man. And I just remember his hands on the back of my neck when he'd come up behind me. And I knew it was Gene. I knew it was him. It was just really a blessing. And he was just really so encouraging to me as a man. And we know that he is with the Lord. Jeff and I spent, several hours there Wednesday night and into the morning Thursday there at the hospital waiting as they did surgery to see if he could pull through. And, it was really an emotional time. It was a difficult time. And at times like this, we really think about, our lives. We think about eternity. We think about really what is important. And I was just really glad that they picked that song, I Will Rise, because that really is our hope, isn't it? We're going to see the Lord face to face. You may be depressed, you may be down, you may be going through some difficult times, you may be going through grief, but you know what? Our hope is in the Lord, and we will rise with him. Just as he rose from the dead, we will rise with him, and that is our hope, and that is a wonderful thing. One of the things that Brenda and I were talking about is just how good Jesus is. Isn't he good? He is really so good, and we see the completeness of his goodness in times like this, when he is the one that's there welcoming, Gene, Chuck, those who go on ahead of us into the kingdom, but he's also the comforter, the one that comforts us here, in our grief, in our difficulty, in our trial, and we see the completeness of who he is and what a blessing that is. And I pray that as you pray for the Callender family and as you think about them, that, and so many of you have been, and so many of you have given, this is a real difficult time for them. And yet the Lord is sustaining Kelly and her children. And so keep them in your prayers. There is a funeral on Thursday. And there is a viewing 9 to 11 on Thursday morning. And then also there is a service there at Martin's Mortuary. That's where this will be held. Martin's Mortuary there by Grand Junction High School. And the service is at 11. And then at 12 o'clock, they're going to do an escort to the Veterans Cemetery. And there'll be a short 20-minute service there. So encourage you to support the family to come and just to be a support to them. Thank you for all the people that have been giving meals to them. That's been a huge blessing in their life and will continue to be. So that's one way we can serve the body here at Grand Junction. One more thing that I'd like to announce, or a couple more things I'd like to announce. This coming month, Monday, October 21st, Taylor, who is playing the electric guitar here, he will be crowned? No, not crowned. They don't crown them. What do they do to them? I don't know. Pin something on there. What do they do, Matt? You are.
Yeah, they do a lot of things.
They do a lot of things. Oh, boy. Yeah, you guys don't know. He's going to be an Eagle Scout. And so they're having a time to honor him. Yeah, sure, yeah. Honor him, and you're invited to be there if you'd like to come. That's Monday, October 21st at 6:30 p.m. at the First Christian Church, and you can go and support him in that. There's a couple more things. There's the Christmas Bazaar or Christmas Fair. It's kind of weird to call it a bazaar. It's really bizarre. People aren't weird there, though. I mean, I don't know. Call it a bazaar. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, it's Christmas Fair, and it will be December 7th here at the church, and many of you have signed up to have booths and to sell things, so that'll be something to look forward to for the Christmas season. And then also, the women are having a Bible study through 1 Peter this coming winter. And I think it starts November 7th. So if you would like to be a part of the that Bible study, you have to be a woman. But there are Bible studies that we have here for men too. So, and there are the life groups as well. So if you are not involved in a study, women, this would be a great place for you to be plugged in, to have that fellowship, have koinonia with one another. All right. Well, as I said, we're going to be in Romans chapter 16, but let's just pray and ask the Lord to just bless this time that we have together. Lord, we're thankful for this morning. We're thankful for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. There have been some heavy things this week, but Lord, we know that you are in the middle of the heavy times. You are in the middle of the difficult times, and so often we find the depth of your love there in that time. And so, Lord, we do pray for the Calendar family. We pray for your moving and your working in their lives, Lord, in Kelly's home there. Lord, as there is such a hole there in their lives. Lord, we know you are the great filler. Lord, you're the one that gives. You are the one who gave your life so that we could have everlasting life, and so that we could have the hope that Gene is now experiencing and walking in, and that Chuck is walking in. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you for your tender care, for your love for us. And Lord, it's in these times that we realize how frail we are and how much need we have for our Savior Jesus. And so, Lord, as we come to your word, we know that it's just not words on a page, but it is the living word of God. It's breathed and inspired by you. And Lord, you want to touch our hearts and our lives through it. So even in this passage here in chapter 16, Lord, we know that you have something for us. And so, Lord, we just want to surrender and submit to that and allow your spirit to work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This, as I was reading through chapter 16, many of you might have, hopefully, many of you have read through so that you can get your bearing. It's a good thing to do. we've been moving through Romans, and here we are in the last chapter of Romans. It's been a great study. Romans is a wonderful book that was written, and we really see the love and the care and the desire that Paul had for the church to grow in the knowledge of who Jesus is. And, this is an interesting passage because it names a lot of people. There are all kinds of people that are listed here and where they are greeted. And my first reading through this, I was kind of like, well, this is just kind of a technical chapter. There's just all this stuff here, these people here. But you know what? As I read and as I prayed, the Lord really gave me some beautiful things that I think that we can apply to our lives together as the body of Christ. His heart, Paul's heart, was to come to Rome. This book, Romans, was probably written on his second missionary journey from the town or the city of Corinth. And so he wrote this letter to them, and it's filled with so much doctrine, so many such basic and simple truths, but also some complex ideas within, our Christian faith. So it's been a blessing to be able to go through that. This book is a life changer, and it's changed many, many men's lives that have read it and gone through it. And so we are so blessed to have it. You know, his desire was that he would be able to come to these people in Rome personally. So in this letter, there are a lot of people that he knows personally, but there are some that he didn't know. They were people that he had heard of, and churches and people within those churches that he had heard of. And so we're going to go down through that. But the common thread, and I think that it's a blessing that we're actually going through chapter 16 this morning, because a common thread that we see through this is Paul's friendships. Gives us a light into and an idea of what Paul and how his friendships were set up and what they were set up around. And so I hope that you will see that theme. We've just celebrated communion together. We've shared it together. And Paul ended up with his friends, the fellowship that he had, he shared a lot of experience and a lot of things with these people here. And so we get an idea of what true friendship really is through some of these relationships that he had. You know, if you think about relationships in your life, I know that my life has been changed by the relationships that I have. How about you guys? Yeah? Foremost is my relationship with the Lord, with Jesus. I mean, I have been changed by my relationship. I'm not the same that I was before I knew Jesus. I'm changed. But then also the relationship that I've had with my family as I've grown. You know, first my wife and, my kids. I think one of the things that has shaped my life more than anything is having children. You know, they've changed me. And then also, a third thing that has been so great in changing my life is the fellowship that I have here with you guys and with the church. These are life-changing things. Relationship should be something that is changing you. Your fellowship and your friendship should be changing you, should be changing your life and who you are. And I think that as we go through this, we really see that Paul just wasn't a man who was expecting to speak in front of a bunch of people and share a Bible study, but he was one that drew people in. He drew people into fellowship with him. And I love this passage because it shares that. It shows that he had many, many people that he had fellowship. Let's look. You know, he talked in another place about he wanted to come to this church because he wanted to have a mutual fellowship with them. I love that about Paul. He wanted mutual fellowship. That's what we see with Jesus. There was this mutual mixing up. I love the Gospels because it shows us part of Jesus' life and how he lived it out with the people that he walked with. It's powerful because there is relationship in Christianity. That's the basis of our life with Jesus. It's relationship and relationship based. And it should be that way. Paul here, he shares with us these things, but look at in Romans 15 there, Jeff talked about this, and I'm going to just share this because this was his heart. In verse 20, or in verse 30, just right across the page from where we're at. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. And Jeff talked about the prayer and how last week, how that prayer to go to Rome was, it was kind of not the way. Paul ends up going to Rome in not the way that he thought he would be there. He went as a prisoner. And it was God changed up the plans there. Verse 31 says, that I may be delivered from those in Judea, which he was in a surprising way, who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. He left really in an uproar. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. That's Paul's heart for these people. He wanted to come to them, to have fellowship with them, and look at what it says there, that they will be refreshed together and have that joy by the will of God. And I just, maybe this morning, I hope this morning, that was in the back of your mind, that church just isn't, some kind of a duty or some kind of thing that you just go through the motions on. I mean, that's so dry and boring. We are united together. Were you excited about that this morning? To see somebody sitting next to you? Were you excited? Are you refreshed in the Lord? See, that's fellowship. And that's what Paul really desired to have with these people there in Rome. And he was looking forward to that time that he would have fellowship. He would be refreshed in them. And I pray that you have some relationships in your life where you're not only friends, but you really have that refreshing fellowship. Hey, I got my phone here, and I usually don't pull it out when I'm teaching, But how many of you have your phones here? Yeah, a lot of you, yes. And we could go down through the list of all of our friends, couldn't we? All our contacts. I even have Facebook on here, and I could Facebook somebody right now. And that, maybe I should check and see if anybody's on right now. Because I know some of you have accounts too. Whatever you think about Facebook, whether you think it's good or bad or whatever, I don't care. It's really neither there. It's like anything in a lot of things in the world, that it can be consuming your heart and your time. It can really do that. And it can just be a destroyer, really, in your life if you allow it to be, which is so much like a lot of things in our lives today. So, but these friends here, I think about it and I go down through a list of these people here. I don't know if they're really friends. Some of them, I don't even know them. Really? They friend me? And I put them there on my list and it's like, I got 200 and I don't know how many I got, 200 something friends. But it's so shallow, isn't it? I mean, if you spend a lot of time, most of it is just really, really shallow. And I think you can use Facebook for good, and I think you can use it for the Lord. A lot of people do that. I don't necessarily do that. You'll find I don't really post a whole lot. I think the last thing that we post was a picture of our dog or something, our new puppy. It's really not that important to me. But to be connected, I shouldn't really going further on that. Well, I was just thinking about our kids. I mean, our kids are going to really be connected. Facebook kind of came in the middle of my life. It's come at the beginning of my kids' lives. Facebook's going to follow them and be something that they always have. It's an interesting cultural, it's a very interesting cultural thing that we have going on here. So connection to people can be through an electronic way, but yet, we're going to see here that fellowship really is a lot more. You know what? Paul was connected by some real serious things here. He was connected not in an electronic way or a real shallow way, but he was connected to these people in some real amazing ways. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Let's just read verse 1 there of chapter 1 or chapter 16. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Caesarea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. This is an interesting verse. There's a few things that really, two verses, there's a few things that stick out to me. The first is that her name, I think that's a cool name, Phoebe. We named our kid Chloe, one of our girls, Chloe. Phoebe could have been a good one too. It means bright or radiant, which is kind of neat. That's kind of a neat meaning. But she's a sister. She's a woman here, which I think is interesting. Paul, he's writing. There's actually 9-10 women in this passage that he greets, which I'm not going to make anything of that, but I think that's really cool that he just doesn't speak to the men leaders, but also the women who are leading. And that is true here in the case of Phoebe. She was some type of leader. We don't know if she had some kind of title, but the word there that is used to describe her, look at that in verse 1, who is a servant of the church. She's a servant of the church. That word there is where we get our word deacon. It's the same word, but it's the female version of it. She was a deaconess in some way, maybe not had the title. We don't know how the structure was there, but she was serving. In Acts chapter 6, that's where we see where the deacons were first commissioned or called into the ministry there in Jerusalem. And they were there to serve and to help, to distribute food, to do some of the common things that the church was participating in. The church was under pressure there, under persecution. There was a lot going on there. There were people that needed food. There were a lot of needs there. And these men, in the case there in Acts 6, were ones that came into that to fill those needs and to help direct those needs. And it's interesting here that Phoebe is a deaconess or a servant of the church. And we don't know what that looked like, but we see another picture of her in verse 2 here. You know, Paul is encouraging them to receive her. We believe that she was on the trip from Corinth to Rome, and that she was the one that was delivering the Roman epistle to the church there in Rome. And so she was bringing this beautiful letter that Paul had written to these people. And so he's saying, hey, receive her. This is the kind of person that she is. She's a servant, she's a deacon, but also look at what it says there. She is a helper of many and myself also. I think that's really a neat description of a person, because that word there actually means guardian or protectress. Now, I wouldn't think that Paul would actually need that, you know, because he says she's been a protectress or a helper of the church, but not just that, she's been a protector of me as well, a guardian of me. And, you know, when we look at that word there, it means someone who has given to and taken care of others. She has taken care of them. She's given of her resources to other people. And I think that that gives us a great look at what a friend really is. This is truly somebody that he had real, true, godly fellowship with. She was somebody that not only did he give to, but she gave back. Mutual fellowship in the Lord. And that is what the church is all about. You know, I don't know how that actually takes place. The Bible doesn't clearly say how that relationship played out. We know that Paul spent a year and a half in Corinth, and that's where Centuria is. It's the port of Corinth. And so she was involved in that church there. Maybe she, you know, through the uprisings and things that happened, maybe she took Paul in to her own home, you know, for a time, provided for him food, provided a place for him to stay when all the mobs were coming after him. You know, who knows what that actually was, but I think that's an amazing compliment that he puts on this woman who was so serving and loving to the body of Christ. And then in verse 3, we see that there is a couple that's mentioned, and I love that because there's two couples actually mentioned here, Priscilla and Aquila, and then Andronicus and Juna in verse 7. And I just, you know, that's just a great picture of what a marriage could be in ministry. We know about Priscilla and Aquila and how much they meant to Paul. In Acts chapter 18, they ministered with Paul in Corinth. That's where Paul met them. They were believers beforehand, but they came into fellowship there in Corinth, where they were both tent makers, And so they had the profession, a similar profession, so they were drawn into fellowship by that. But not only that, they had a relationship with Jesus, and they were proclaiming that, and they did that together in Corinth. And so that is a great picture of fellowship. You know, and when I look at these things, you know what? I think, well, how does this apply to me? How does your fellowship or your friendship, what is it like? Does it have the characteristics that we're seeing here in this passage? Do you have that heart to serve, to protect, to love the people that are around you? You know, look at this. Look at, we go a little bit deeper with them as well. They ended up following Paul from Corinth to Ephesus, and then they stayed there in Ephesus, and then Apollos comes, and he was a Jewish man who didn't quite know, hadn't really believed in Jesus yet. He just believed in the baptism of John, and then Priscilla and Aquila, they shared the gospel with him in a deeper way, and he received that, and he became a teacher. He became one who was a great teacher and a great apologist for the faith, and in the context of the Jews. So that was really a blessed fruit of Priscilla and Aquila. So we see there their marriage there. We see that they were united with Paul, that they had a relationship with him. They had come from Rome, and that's where Aquila was actually from. Let's read in Acts 18 there. It says in verse 1, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, the Caesar, had commanded that all Jews depart from Rome. And he came to them." Paul came to them. So the interesting thing there is they were in Rome, and then they met Paul in Corinth because they were basically, the Jews were kicked out of Rome by decree of the Caesar. So an interesting journey that Paul, in a place that Paul finds himself with them and in that relationship. But look a little deeper in there. In verse 4, it says, "They risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." You know, that is, that's an amazing statement there. They risked their necks, or they stuck their neck out for him. In some way, they protected Paul as well. We don't know how that was. You know, they spent a couple years together there teaching and ministering. We know that Paul's ministering time was full of all kinds of turmoil, you know. And so at one of those junctures, they had risked their own necks for their life. And you know what? That just reminded me of you know, what Jesus has done for us. Because really, the idea of friendship and the idea that we have of fellowship, really, we wouldn't really have a depth of knowledge of that without what Christ has done for us. And so let's turn to John chapter 15. Because, you know, Romans 5:10, we looked at that earlier in the book of Romans, says that we were enemies of God. That we were enemies of God. But look at what chapter 15 here says. This is what Jesus Christ has done and relationship with Jesus does. Verse 13 says of chapter 15 of John, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." That is an awesome passage right there. This passage was spoken, you know, in the time that right before Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he goes to give his life for his friends. You know, have you considered that aspect of your relationship with the Lord, that that's how God considers you? He considers you a friend. That is amazing. You know, it's really easy in our lives just to do things out of duty, isn't it? You know, I do this, I do that because I'm this. There's more in this idea here than really, you know, we probably understand here. God is calling us into his plan. He has called us into his plan, and that's what this talks about here in verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That is amazing that God has drawn us in to the knowledge of his desire, his plan, his purpose. There's so much purpose that God has for us as the body of Christ. It's just not doing things, having that, you know, well, we go through this motion and that motion, but it really is a heart of realizing that we're part of God's plan. We're part of God's purposes here on this earth. You know, we've been talking a lot about evangelism, sharing the gospel. You know what? It's not just a work that we do. It's not, and it shouldn't be. It should be the bubbling up of the plan of God out of our hearts and our lives, that we are so happy and joyful about what God has done and called us into this relationship with Jesus that it just bubbles out of who we are. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden you're just thinking, man, I got to share the gospel with this person. I got to let it out. You know, you're going, man, how can I do that? You're praying, Lord, help me. You know, I was there last week in my office sharing the gospel. Wanting to communicate. No, religion stinks, man. Religion stinks, that duty just to perform and to do. It really stinks, and that's not what God wants us to walk in. He wants us to walk in the power of relationship, in relationship to one another and to the people in the world. And so, you know, that is, you know, and I experienced this week, you know, just this burning in your heart that you just have to share. You just have to share the truth with someone. And then after you do that, it's just like, wow, Lord, you used me in your plan. Because that is where the Lord has brought us, into his plan, not as servants to get his job done. He could do a way, don't you think? He could do a way better job of wowing the world, couldn't he? If he just stepped down and stepped into this and said, boom, here I am. And one day, you know what? He's going to do that. One day he's going to do that. And the world's going to see. But at that point, it's going to be too late. He is using us, his friends, us, his broken vessels, to communicate his great love that he has for people. And that cry has been going out since the garden when he called out to Adam, Adam, where are you? And we just continue that form, that thought. Where are you? Where's your coworker? Where are your family members? Where are you in relationship to the Lord? Where are they? You know, and that's the call and the cry of the evangelistic heart. Here is your creator, and we have that awesome opportunity to link those things together and to be part of the plan that God has for the world. So, you know, they were intimately involved in this together. Paul and Priscilla and Aquila, intimately involved in really carrying out the plan of God there in the places that they went. Well, we've got to move on here pretty quickly. So we'll go back to Romans chapter 16. And we're just going to read down through here. There's a couple of things that I'd like to point out. In verse 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So they had a church. Priscilla and Aquila had a church in their house, and that's the way a lot of the early church met, was within the houses of people. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to have the life groups here, is so that we could have people in homes. There's a great place of fellowship there in sharing a home, sharing real life. It's not quite as sterile as church can be. So just a blessing. I would encourage you to be plugged into that and put your, really give a heartily, take it to heart to be in a life group and really, you know, grow with the people that are there. So in the house there, they had that. And then likewise, greet the church that's in their house. Greet my beloved Epinatius, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. And that is a sacrificial term, really. The first fruits is. Epinatius could have been of the household of Stephanus, which in 1 Corinthians, that household was also called the first fruits to Christ in Asia or Achaia. Achaia. Greet Mary, who labored much that I for us. She labored much for us, and that word there, labored, means that she toiled with her hands. You know, she worked hard with her hands for them. She was a servant. She was someone that really gave her life for the body of Christ. And then Andronicus and Juno, my countrymen, and we're not sure exactly what that refers to. Possibly they were a Jewish couple that were from the tribe of Benjamin, the same tribe that Paul was from, and could have been that, who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. So he knows these guys. He had had ministry with them. They ended up being in prison together, which is pretty amazing there. The Bible doesn't give us an account of when that was or how that happened, but we see it here referred to. And then also that they were of note. They were outstanding. That's what that means. They were outstanding among the apostles, or they were doing things that the apostles took notice of. So they were real servants serving the people there. And I think that you could probably think of some people in your life that were really noteworthy, that were people that were really serving, that were really giving of their lives. And those are people that we are drawn to and that we love. And the same thing is true here with Paul and the apostles. They loved these people. They were outstanding. And he mentions that they were in Christ before Paul had actually come to the Lord there in Damascus. Verse 8 says, greet Ampelus, my beloved in the Lord, and greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ, which means tested or tried, approved, maybe through trial. You know, maybe he had gone through some various trials, some difficult things in his relationship with the Lord. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Aristobulus. Many scholars believe that he probably was not a believer, but some in his household were. He might have been in the household of the emperor there. There's some ties that people try to tie him to that. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are in the household of our Narcissus, who are in the Lord. That's an interesting one there. There are some people I was reading that believe that Narcissus was actually the secretary of one of the emperors. But then I read that there's no connection there. So, you know, I'm not really sure, but we do know in Philippians chapter 4, that verse 22, that Paul wants to send greeting from the church there in Rome and the people that were part of Caesar's household, which is really an interesting idea there. There were believers that were close to Caesar. That's really interesting. So greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored. There again, we see that labored. They have worked to the bone, really. That's what that word actually means there. In the Lord, greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus. Rufus is an interesting one. In Mark chapter 15, we see that there was a Rufus there that was the son of Simon the Cyrene, who carried the cross of Christ. And this may be a reference to being a son of the one who actually carried the cross of Christ. We don't know for sure, but we do know that this Rufus could have been. He was in Rome at the time. So that could be that Rufus. So he was chosen of the Lord, or a choice of the Lord. Someone who was outstanding for the Lord, maybe for his service, for his love, for his commitment, and his giving to the church. And then his mother and mine, which I don't think they were brothers. I think that was just a term of endearment that they used. And then greet these other people here, and we're going to let that lie there, those two verses there, which are probably churches. They're probably the leaders of a couple churches that were there in Rome. But the interesting thing to me, when we get down through here and we see that there's all this relationship, all these people that Paul was in connection with, that he had fellowship with, he throws in there verse 17 through 20, which is a reminder to us of our need to watch out, to watch, to be on the lookout. Because look at what he says here. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offense, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. This is an interesting passage here. We don't like to really talk about this much. You know, we'd rather talk about love and being together in unity, but there really is a threat to our lives and to what we're believing as we listen to things that are not, you know, doctrine that is based on the biblical scriptures there. And there's a lot of that around, you know. You don't have to go far to find some of that within the church and outside of the church. You know, we really need to be careful as we're going through Facebook and the things that are posted there. You know, we grab onto all this stuff, but we need to be careful that those things are centered within the Bible. You know, doctrine is interesting. The idea or the word there is didache, and it means teaching. It means teaching. And sometimes we equate, you know, doctrine with this is word of God or gospel, but that's not the case. We hope that our doctrine lines up with God's word and with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But doctrine doesn't have to, and we have the word there, false doctrines. You know, there are people that spread doctrines. You know, every wind, Ephesians says, of doctrine, that we can be tossed to and fro by winds of doctrines that kind of blow through. So we really need to be watchful. We need to be thinking about what is being said and what is being taught. And I think that there's really, I think there's an interesting, thing that needs to happen in our lives. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be bathed in the Word of God so that we know when there is something that is a false doctrine. We need to know the scriptures. We need to know what they say and what the heart and sense is. You know, the Word of God can be looked at as just knowledge. It can be looked at as a structure. You know what? But there is a sense when you read and when you allow the Holy Spirit to open up your eyes to what the Scripture is actually saying and what the Lord would have you do and how you can actually put into practice the things that are written there. Not in the biblical times, but in our time right now, right here in the present. And God wants us to work out those things in and through our lives. So we have to be very careful that we are not caught up in division. Because look at here, false doctrines, doctrine that is contrary to what has been taught, what they have learned there, Paul says, it causes divisions and offenses. The idea there is that there is a divide, there's a diversion, there's a separation there. And we don't want to be a part of that. We don't want to be part of dividing the body of Christ. And then also the offense there. That word there in the Greek is scandalon, which means a trap, or it's a stumbling block that somebody would stumble over. You know, somebody sticking something as you're walking down the road in your path, you know, and you trip over it and fall. You know, that's the illusion that is there. That's the idea or the mental picture there. Or somebody sticking something out there and pulling the stick and whabam, you're trapped in something. You know, that's the idea that of that word there. So we need to take note, or that's an interesting word there, taking note. We get our word scope from that. So it's kind of like anybody going hunting? Yeah? Got your spotting scope out? You're looking at those deer? That's the word. That's kind of the sense that's there. Look at them. Study it. Scope it out. Look at it. Scope those things out. Those people out that are causing divisions and offenses. And look at what Paul recommends there. He says, just avoid them. Just avoid them. Don't tackle them. You know, don't beat them up. You know, that's not what we do. We avoid. We go a different direction, and we go on the course that we have been taught and that we know is biblical and that we know is solid and that we know is simple. He's going to mention that here in verse 20. For those who are of such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. And that refers to just the passions, the natural passion of man. You know, we can do that. We can be. I don't know about you guys, but I could... you know, I can be a real selfish person, you know, and there are some things that seem really good in my life that I have opinion about and that I really want to push forward, but yet it's actually a very selfish thought on my part. You know, selfish ambition, I think we don't talk enough about it because it's something that God needs to reveal in our hearts. I can't tell you, hey, you're selfishly ambitious. It's really, I can't necessarily, I can maybe think that, or maybe I see something in your life or some fruit of your life that would do that. But really, that is an important place for you to go personally in your life, to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal those kinds of selfish things, because they creep into our lives in little tiny ways. You know, wanting, ambitious for things, ambitious for our own good. And so, you know, this whole idea here is that we can define or we can discern those that are spreading a doctrine that is not biblical or that is a divergent doctrine. We can see that by where their interests are, where their passions are. And then it also says there that they have smooth words, flattering speech. They're deceiving the hearts of the simple or the humble. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And we're going to stop there. But before we do that, you know, we stop on a pretty amazing verse there, verse 20, where, and it really is a fulfillment. And he's talking about the peace, the place that we are with God. No more at war, but we have peace with God. And that peace comes through the first prophecy that we have been given, which is in Genesis chapter 3, where God says to man and says to Eve that her seed will crush the head of the serpent. The serpent will bruise the heel of the seed of Eve, but the seed of Eve will crush the head of Satan. And we're going to see that. And that word there, shortly, it means quickly, that will quickly be. And that's, we know that's through the victory that Jesus won there on the cross, crushing the head of the enemy. We are victorious in Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And you know what? That's my prayer for us this morning, that grace of the Lord would be with us in our fellowship, in our time together, in this next week. You know, grace, his riches that have been given to us through Christ, that they would be manifest through our lives as we are part of God's plan. And as we enter in to what God has for us, it's a blessed place to be. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are with us and that you have drawn us into fellowship, deep fellowship, koinonia with you. And Lord, that you have not just, we're not just servants. We're not just slaves, but Lord, you've called us friends, and we can enter into that place where we are bound to one another and that we are bound to you. And so, Lord, we pray that we would express that through our lives as we live through this next week. Lord, I pray that for the believers here. And Lord, I just really pray a special prayer on the Callender family as they are going through such a loss with Gene. And Lord, where there is a hole there, Lord, we know that you fill. And Lord, we know that you are there in the midst. And sometimes in the depths of the things that we deal with, the trials, the heartache that we have, Lord, we find your love, your grace, and your mercy there. Sometimes in the greatest way that we have ever known. And so, Lord, I just pray that for them, and I pray that your peace would draw them in to your presence and into your love for them. And Lord, I just thank you for each one that's here this morning. What a blessing it is to be together. We do. We have fellowship one with another. We have koinonia, and we thank you for that. We pray that we wouldn't take for granted what you have given us. And so I thank you for each one that's here. And Lord, we just praise you. And as we sing this last song, we pray that you would draw us in to your plan, to your purposes for this next week, for the situations that we face. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would you stand as we close in a song?
show me, save that thou art. Thou my best love, by day and by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my love.
Pray that the grace of the Lord will be with you guys as you go throughout your week. And you know, that song is so awesome, that the Lord would be our vision. You know, Hebrews 12 says that we have our eyes fixed on him. And I pray that for you guys this week, that we as a body would have our eyes fixed on him. He is our glorious inheritance. Isn't that awesome? That is just really an awesome consideration. So may you be blessed this week, and pray that the grace of the Lord will be with you. Amen.